This podcast brings together our personal thoughts, lived experiences, and the lessons we've learned through others from reading and listening on the fanatical racism of the world that encircles each of us. If you, like Eshiru and I, are not racist, do not judge people by any group they may belong to, rather the individual they express themselves to be, then we are untethered boats on a sea of hate. The maelstrom rages fore and aft. Social media is a raging storm. Mainstream media choose words to antagonize the virtual mobs, and they attack like unhinged piranha, teeth thrashing at the morsels presented to them. Afraid of migrants, they shake with fury where they stand, because for centuries they have been told the white European is the superior being, stronger, smarter, more civilized. Yet every day that they see a person of darker skin rising up through the classic restraints, smiling whether rich or poor, socializing and making friends and meaningful relationships, establishing places to meet and feel safe, this rabid hatred goes up a notch. Online, they feel safe. They have heroes and heroines to follow and support. They disgorge from the rotting timbers of their fallen communities at the hands of establishment flunkies, only to do the bidding of those same flunkies, because they are told, "You are better, lads." We are the same, though. My skin is white, yet I am the same as every person of color. So are you. So is every hate-filled, blinded follower of these establishment lackeys. We are not enemies. Individuality is too important a principle for any replacement program, great or small, theory or otherwise. Know thy enemy, for it is not those you hate. In the long run, racism will know no victory, no satisfaction, and no comfort, for the very reason that Sun Tzu explained all those years ago. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Thank you, Eshiru, for your passion, your activism, and your insight. Tuna Mike, clocking out. Enjoy.
Jepek kudwelo mabiro etu under mic. Dung parodit kod joke mawo yetu under mic. Seche tim sudbuta wawinji etu under mic. Wala wachokre wabed ping biwawinje ero chako domomit ndi and a mic. Podcast makende.
Do you remember there was that guy
I remember the conversation earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And that was quite interesting, because then he kind of came back as well, and he was, because a certain race can't drop the victim mentality. I don't know if you read this. He said every race has been enslaved throughout history. Every post on X is about race. It's boring. You all benefit from white privilege if you live in the West. Western privilege is a better term, but that doesn't fit a narrative. This was Pom Parsons.
Yes, I know. We can touch on that. I think that I hate when people use that term victim mentality. It really bothers me, because what it does, it's almost like the Western world wants to shame black people, shame us, the descendants, the diaspora. They want to shame us by calling us victims, so that we don't talk about the atrocities that their ancestors were either inflicted or were a party to. Now, don't get me wrong, that every white person alive today, ancestors owned slaves or were party to the slavery, as is all the black people who were born today, and not all their families were slaves or sold their own into slavery. But we have a system in the world today that's been centered around whiteness. And whether you like it or not, as a white person, you benefit today from a system that was created to enslave and up and keep my people or keep black people in a specific place. So you don't have to talk about slavery. None of us were there, but you do benefit from living as a white person today in society. And that's something that you have to acknowledge. And the only way that we can move forward is if you acknowledge that piece. And then we can say, right, well, now you've acknowledged that, then how do we move forward? Because white privilege, it exists in today's terms.
Yep, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And as I mentioned with that book that I'm going through at the moment, it's unbelievable. Really, if you get a chance to read it, I know you've got a long list of stuff, but it's fantastic. Black as Fuck History. It's called Black AF History. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
I've actually got it in my Audible.
Okay. Yeah. Brilliant. Yes. Listening to the author talking about it as well is brilliant. So a lot of people say, yeah, but but there were Africans that were helping with the slave trade. And I think, do you know what? All that does, it's a bullshit attempt to divert blame. Yeah.
That's it. Absolutely spot on. And then the thing people have to ask, when people mention that, the first thing they say, all right, well, let's suppose Africans were supplying Africans in the level that you guys are saying. Why didn't the British stop it? Why did the British continue enslaving them for 300 years? At what point in the 300 years did they decide that it was wrong? One day they woke up and said, aha, this is wrong. Stop and think. And then after that point forward, look at all the atrocities that then continued under the name of the British and the Americans in America and in the colonies after that point forward, after 1833 or 1835. Slavery continued to 1860. It continued in America. The civil rights movement never stopped until 1960, whatever it was. And let's remember that Britain and America supported the apartheid in South Africa of the subjugation of black people. So if the goodness of their hearts, they slapped slavery after 300 years, why did they then pick the baton up and continue the process in the US and South Africa? You know, these things people never think, because they never join the dots. Because what I've noticed about bigots, they never want to talk about history. They always want you to move on. Oh, can you stop living in the past? Move on. But they don't want you to talk about Henry VIII and Queen Elizabeth and how great they were and built this thing 1,000 years ago, and you never had writing and you never had this in Africa. But they don't want to talk about what made this part of the world wealthy. The Berlin Conference passed last week, October the 15th, 1884. The Berlin Conference is 140th anniversary, and the only major network that covered it was Al Jazeera. None of the newspapers, none of the major networks. The only one was Al Jazeera, and I'm sure if I check Middle East tonight, they probably covered it also on Middle Eastern Monitor. These are the only places that covered it. Now, the Berlin Conference actually changed the trajectory of the world to where we are today. And it's a huge factor in history, and nobody spoke about it. Not one person. And it's stuff like that I stop and think about. So it's a huge injustice, because we talk about the Holocaust. We know the Holocaust is bad. I'm not taking anything away from that. There was also a Black Holocaust, and we don't talk about that. Yeah, the Arabs might have started a slave trade, and the Arabs might have done all these bad things, but we know through recorded history how the transatlantic slave trade was. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how pseudosciences were created to subjugate black and brown people. Let's talk about, after pseudosciences were created, that they were continued within society to ensure laws are passed to give an unfair advantage to whites in white in some countries over blacks. I mean, look at America. It's a prime example. America, black Americans have been in America longer than most white Americans have, but they're treated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they've been there much longer than most of them, but they've been treated, you know. Yeah, it's a whole, and we'll never get to the end of it. But for me, I think what really, really irks me is the lack of acknowledgement. That's what really bothers me.
Yeah. I think it's a process, because the Armenians have a similar thing with regards to the Armenian genocide in Turkey. Yeah, step one, acceptance, and then let's talk about what kind of relationship we want to have. But until you have that point of acceptance, it's very difficult then to establish a relationship. And I think this is the point. Okay, politically, some parties have said, or some politicians have accepted, yes, slave trade. All right, fair enough. But the people, do they live that? Do we see that being lived, that acknowledgement? Is it being lived? No, because we still have racism. It's still, and it's extensive, and it's getting more and more. So there is a problem.
Absolutely. Let's also remember, police officers, this is something I learned very recently. I've got this book up there called Empire Land. It's in the bedroom, actually. Empire Land by Satnam Sangira. Very okay. good. I took it to Sweden with me. One thing I learned was, you know, a lot of the policing practices that they have here in Britain, did you know it, would they tested them out in the colonies first, like fingerprinting, for example? They tested it out in India first to keep a check of the local population. The way that they punished, the way that they held civilians, they tested out in Kenya and various parts of Africa before they brought them back here to England. They used to send police officers from here in the 40s, 50s and 60s to Africa to train, bring them back. And did you know that police officers here used to travel down to South Africa, train and then come back? Now, when you have that mindset in an institution where we know institutional racism sits very tight, okay, and then they look at black people as not necessarily full citizens, but certainly people that need to be contained, it isn't difficult to understand that we're going to have the over-policing of black and brown people. And of course, white people get policed as well. Working class white people get treated really poorly. But working class white people will never get stopped on the street because they're white. And that's the difference. Whereas a black person, I think somebody had a prime example the other day. Somebody said that you can have two people, exactly, got everything perfect in life. Doesn't matter. Everything's exactly the same. One black, one white, but the problem that a white person will never have in the country of their birth is their skin color. And even as a famous person, you can still be stopped and searched by police in the case of mistaken identity. Was it Blake, the tennis player in New York, when he was stopped and searched by police and even held? And it happens all the time. It isn't like the odd occasion. It isn't a mistake. They see a black face and automatically there's a warning sign. And again, that's education, that's the way that the media portrays us, and even the way black people are. Some of these idiots that do these gangster videos and, you know, playing a role, it's like, it doesn't help the black community, you know, be a bit more responsible.
And also recently in the UK, Atkinson, the former football player, the way he was treated, yeah?
There you go. Yeah.
And died as a result, yeah. I think.
It's not a coincidence.
No.
At all. Yeah. And it's quite sad, because you would think that we're going to move beyond, but I think that, and I think the late Toni Morrison said this, brilliant, brilliant lady, by the way, she said that they will never do anything to fix the problems of racism. That's the establishment and governments. She was applying this to America, but you can apply it to here in Europe. They'll never do anything to fix racism because they can use racism as a tool to divide us, or a stick, the proverbial stick to beat people with. And this is what we have in Britain. I was just having a discussion with some friends on the phone, and what we've noticed over the last, a Muslim friend of mine, he's been correlating. He used to work for the Met, no longer works for them. They wanted him to become a infiltrator, a Muslim, and he's like, no, none of that. So he left the force. Anyway, he's been compiling terrorist offences, people that can be convicted. Over the last year in Britain, there's been approximately 2 convictions per week on average.
Per week?
Yeah. And when I say terror offences, not necessarily people blowing shit up, but people going online and searching for, a manual of how to make them. But that's considered a terror offence. So there's been something between 2 per week for the last year. And you know that he's allocated not one black or brown face to his database. They've all been young white people who are being radicalised online by the far right. And it's a big problem in Britain, but we never talk about it, because we need to talk about young black guys and knife crime over there. And let's focus on them over there. And you got all these white kids over here who are suffering and they're getting no attention. But then the system will turn around and use them to be angry at us later on.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. That's where we are in Britain. It's a bit shit.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to ally myself with more and more of these bigoted whites and say, look, we're not enemies, you know, guys. We're not enemies. You and I have more in common. You know, we have much more in common than you probably realize. If you came to my house because your daughter's unwell and you needed my phone, I'd take you in my fucking car. I would. Would Boris Johnson do that for you, or David Cameron? Nobody would. There you go. So you and I have more in common, my friend. And I'm trying to get them around to my way of thinking. Because we need to be, I think in these times, because we don't have We don't have the big media companies to back us. We need to be a little bit more creative in the way that we work together.
Yep.
And try and bring people on side. You and I are good because there's a mutual love and respect, right?
But, definitely, yeah.
But it's converting the bigoted blacks and whites, the black people out there that are exactly the same, and it's converting them and saying, hold on, not all white people are racist. I've got people that I know like that. You know, I've got to say to them, like, look, I lived in Sweden for a very long time. Never had any problems. I never had any problems in Spain, Greece, or Norway. And I'm a black man.
Yeah.
So, and it's trying to get them also. We've got to be on the same page and try and fight this thing together.
Yeah. Well, hopefully next year we can step that up with our blogging and other activities and see where we take it. But definitely, I think we need to. It's not just a question of allies. It's a question of people who have. We've got the same problems that we're dealing with, whether regardless of color, regardless of class. The people who are trying to keep us down are the same, and it's the same people who are sexist. We've talked about this. It's the same people who are sexist. Same people who are against LGBTQ. It's all the same people. On that basis, thank you very much for your time. Eshru, it's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Two, and a mic. Two, and a mic.